Now, the next pillar of medicine after nutrition, getting into environmental medicine, which I know you really were in the forefront of, is fascinating and also in some ways equally nebulous. I know in my own life I hit environmental toxins and stopped walking. And, you know, initially, who knows what it was? Could it have been the off-gassing of cheap carpets, the toxic well waters with the green copper, the Stachybotrys, I never did figure it out, so I moved. But in my case, I could move. But for most individuals, when they're hit by environmental toxins, it can just absolutely flatten you, and it's very difficult to track down.
That's right. I mean, there are certain clues you look for, as you will have been aware then, which is that, you know, first of all, it's a problem of place. You feel bad in certain places and you feel okay in other. For example, if you feel great on holiday but not so good at home, everyone says, oh, well, I just felt on holiday. I was relaxed, so that was the real reason. And I always say, probably it's showing you that there's some environmental trigger that's taking place in your home. But it is a complex problem. I mean, there are two confounding factors, really. One is that individual variation that I keep bringing it back to. So some people are extremely sensitive, and tiny doses will affect them. And it's no good saying, it's not responsible, is it, to say, well, the average person isn't affected.
You're right, there you are again.
No problem, tough titty. You know, you've got to make allowance for the fact that in our society, the lower 10% are very sensitive, the top 10%, you know, you could be like Rasputin. I mean, it was almost impossible to kill Rasputin. They gave him huge doses of cyanide that would, you know, killed an orchestra, but it wouldn't kill him. But the other confounding variable is the way that these things interact. You can take any chemical and say, well, at that dose it's safe and nobody feels ill and yada yada yada, but you put it with, you know, 10 or 20,000 other chemicals, mm-hmm. and the interactions just become so complicated, and we get a problem called potentiation, you know, where 1 + 1 isn't 2, 1 + 1 is, you know, 8
is 11, right? Sure.
Because together they somehow synergistically exacerbate the reaction. So all these assurances, you know, this is safe, that, you know, like aspartame and sucralose, mm-hmm. we're talking about, it's saying these are safe. They, you know, even conceivably they might be in a laboratory with an ideal animal in an ideal environment. But when you mix it up with everything else that humans have to face, there's just no way you can say it's safe. All you can say is that, you know, it's very likely that things will interact in a complex way that we don't understand. And is there any wonder that people are getting sick, you know? I published a book in 1986 where I introduced this term, the human canary. Now, I didn't make it up. I'm not trying to claim that. But I published it in my book, and I'm pleased to say it stuck. You know, do you know this metaphor that, you know, the canaries, they took down the coal mines. If the bird got sick or fell over, it would show that the air was bad. It seems to me we have a lot of human canaries around, you know, who are really being sick and showing us loud and clear our environment is toxic and dangerous, and we just, you know, we're ignoring them. They're like the kind of human canary element, really.
Sure, and it's also tough to track down. And, of course, when it is one individual and three or four around them are not exhibiting outward symptoms in any big way, maybe they've got a lot of muted problems, but they're not keeling over, then you just look and say, oh, well, that's a sickly soul there. And, yeah. And the other thing, again, okay, you've got it down to maybe sick building syndrome and 30 people at work are not feeling well. But short of leaving the building, it's very difficult to figure out what the culprits are.
Well, to be honest, Rolly, in most situations, there isn't much point, you know, in knowing whether it's tricyclic this or dicyclic this or, you know, methyl ethyl or ethyl propyl or whatever. It almost becomes meaningless because there is a phenomenon called spreading. You know, when you start to react to one, it's a clumsy word, but it's the best we could come up with.
Right.
You react to one chemical and suddenly you find you're reacting to more, and then all of a sudden you're reacting to dozens of these things. The only answer really there for a person is a clean personal environment. Now, I don't usually recommend extremes like, you know, going to live in a sheltered caravan or extreme environmental control units, because generally that brings in its wake certain psychological problems. But surely, you know, it's common sense to clean up the home, you know, to get rid of unnecessary detergents, unnecessary cosmetics, if there is such a thing. I used to do a thing called, it's in all of my books except this DietWise book, what I call a nose survey. Just go around the house and smell on the principle, if there's enough to cause a smell, there's enough to cause a symptom. And it's worth remembering that. I believe that is absolutely correct. If you can smell it, it can make you ill.
Well,
just go through the cupboards and shelves and throw out anything that smells that you don't need. And cosmetics, you know, women, of course, we know, the girls look lovely, they put their cosmetics on, and as guys, you know, I can only say we appreciate that. But it comes as a price. You know, you're putting things on your skin, and it's absolutely naive to believe it stays on the skin. It goes straight through the skin. The current figures that I've been able to find is that women absorb about a kilo, that's about 2 pounds of cosmetics through their skin every year.
Sure.
And, the, you know, the quick reaction, the knee-jerk of a doctor or scientist is, oh, no, that's nonsense. But why do we give hormone patches? We put patches on the skin because we know it's going to go straight through the skin as if the skin weren't there. And that's true of all chemicals. So,
right. That I always wondered about that, too. Wait a minute. You're giving me transdermal therapy, and then you're telling me that the cream I'm lavishing on my legs isn't going to go into my skin. Let's review this, shall we? Absolutely. The other thing, though, when you mentioned the smell test, one of the problems that a number of people hit who have really been felled by environmental medicine is their sense of smell goes away.
Right. Now, I noticed that, too, in the early 80s. I'd begun to realize that it goes through a process, doesn't it? You have normal smell. Then you get a heightened sense of smell.
Mm-hmm.
The person's extremely acute. And then it finally disappears altogether. If I said in my writings, if that happens, you're going to have to find someone who still can smell and get them to do it for you. And then the next thing that will happen as you progress backwards is it goes from no smell to where you've got this very, very acute sense of smell. And, you know, people can actually beat machines. You know, they can detect such a low level of molecule, like a gas leak, for example.
Mm-hmm.
I've had the weirdest things, Rory. I've had somebody made sick from a gas leak in next door's house, you know, where it tracked through the brickwork and stuff. But I've sent them back to get the utility board back again and again, saying, I know there's a leak because, you know, my client is sick and they can definitely smell it. And eventually, you know, the gas utility people have had to admit that there was a leak. They tend to dismiss it below a certain level. You know, they say, that's not really a leak, that's not important. But it is important if you're a very, very sensitive person, if you're one of these canary types.
I would also think, since we're talking about the three pillars of medicine, that if you get yourself in balance with the nutrition, if you detox that way, that you're going to have a better time with the environmental complications.
Exactly. No, you put that so well, because, you know, you can't battle chemicals forever. It just becomes a paranoid lifestyle. And I used to feel very sad. You know, I saw patients from other doctors doing this. I mean, I never let my people do this, but they'd run around with a mask over their face and, you know, they'd gasp and run out of the room if someone took the top off a felt-tip pen and so on. That's crazy. You know, you can actually beat this condition. You know, good nutrition will help your detox pathways. You know, glutathione is magic, NADH from vitamin B3 and so on. You can develop detox pathways and help and unload in other ways. You know, I'm on record again with the BBC as saying, you know, divorce can be a good cure for allergy. You know, if you have your stress to the limit and you leave home, even for a while, never mind a divorce, things can calm down to where your body can begin to come back into balance. So what you said is absolutely correct. You tackle it other ways.